Once upon a time, there was a little girl, and she said to her father, "Father, what will I be when I grow up?" And the father, he thought this was a far too serious a question for a little girl like her to be asking. And so he just said to her, kind of like a joke, "One day, my darling, you'll look up into the sky and you'll see the birds writing your destiny in the sky. And that's what you will be when you grow up." Well, the little girl, she really took that to heart. And she immediately looked up into the sky. But the birds weren't there writing her destiny. But she vowed that if ever they did, she would see it. She wouldn't miss the moment. So every day of her life, why, she'd look up into the sky. She'd look up into the sky just to see if her birds were writing her destiny in the sky. But it never really seemed like the birds were ever writing her destiny in the sky. But she never missed a day, you know. She never missed a day. She'd always be checking, "Are the birds writing my destiny in the sky today?" But by the time she was almost a young woman, by the time she was almost ready to leave home, why? She went to her father and she said, "You know that thing you told me when I was really small? That one day the birds would write my destiny in the sky? Well, they haven't. I've been looking every day and they haven't written it in the sky. And now I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life." And the father was aghast. He said, "What? I barely even remember saying that. Did I actually say such a thing?" She said, "You certainly did. Don't you remember?" "Well, I meant that as a joke. It wasn't serious. It was just a little idea that I thought of because you were so young. You were too young to be asking such questions." And she looks at him, and her mouth is open, and her eyes are wide, and she's shocked. She says, "Father, did you really just make that up?" And she starts crying and her cheeks are red and she's now angry and glaring at him and saying, "Father, I can't believe you did such a thing!" And she turns around and she goes to her room and she slams the door. And of course, the father, he goes to the door and he pleads and he begs and he apologizes and he says, "Oh, my darling, I'm so sorry. I never meant to say all of that. It was a silly thing to say. I'm so... Can you ever forgive me?" She shouts from inside, "No, I will never forgive you." And the poor man, he doesn't know what to do. He's restlessly pacing around the house. He's trying to take his mind off it, but this goes on for days and days and days. And she won't come out. And she won't talk to him. And she certainly won't forgive him. And he doesn't know what to do. And when it goes on for weeks and then months like this, he's beyond desperate. He's beyond desperate. And even though it's dark, he just pulls on a coat and he walks out into the dark. And it was winter time, and it was cold. But he's so desperate to help his daughter and get himself out of the hole he's dug himself into that he's ready to try anything now. Oh, yes. And as he walks, why, he's remembering that when he himself was a very young lad, his father had said, "If you ever need help, you should go to find the king of the birds, who lives in such and such a place. And the king of the birds will help you, as he's helped me." Wow. Well, now he certainly needs help. He needs help more than he's ever needed help in his life. So he's ready to follow this rather strange story that he'd almost forgotten from his long-ago father, who's now long dead. And he walks out into the night. And he follows his father's instructions until by the time it's morning of the next day, why, he comes to the very place that his father had told him to go to. And there he finds himself standing under the great tree where the king of the birds lived. And he called up into the branches of the tree, "Is the king of the birds here?" And there was this great flapping of wings. And a great big bald eagle comes flying out of the tree and lands on the ground in front of him. And there's no question about what and who this bird is. And the father, he says, "Your Majesty, I'm so sorry to have disturbed you, but I have to ask you for help." And he explains the whole story. Everything that's happened so far between him and his daughter and the terrible impasse they've come to now. And the king of the birds listens patiently. And when he's finished, the king of the birds, why, says to the father, "Well, I could help you, but there's one little problem." "Yes," says the father, "what's that?" "I don't know your daughter's destiny," says the king of the birds. "I've no idea what her destiny will be. If you can go out and find out what her destiny is, then come back and tell me. Then I'll have my birds write it in the sky for all they're worth. But I need to know what her destiny is first." Well, the father thanked the king of the birds. And he walked away, but now he wasn't a great deal more hopeful. In fact, he was just as desperate as he'd been. He had no idea what her destiny was to be. Oh, so close, and yet so far. He walked and he walked, trying to work it out, trying to figure out what her destiny might be. But he had no idea, no idea. Eventually, he comes to a tavern. And he's so tired that he just stops and goes in for a drink. And once he's in there, why, there's a friendly old man. A friendly old man at the bar who sees him coming in. And after a little while, he goes over to his table and he says, "Can I join you?" And the old father, he says, "Well, you're very welcome to join me, but I'm terrible company right now. You see, I'm so troubled, I don't think I'll make very good company for you." The little old man, he liked the sound of that, and a twinkle in his eye got even more twinkly. And he pulls the chair up, and he sits very close, and he says, "Tell me, what's your problem? I like to help." Oh, the father doesn't need a great deal of prompting. He just pours out the whole sorry story of him and his father and the whole thing and the king of the birds now. And he says at the end, "Well, I just don't know what my daughter's destiny is. If I did, then I could make this all work out." And the little old man, he leant so close that the father could feel his breath upon his face. And he says, "Now listen here. If you really want to find out what your daughter's destiny is, then you go to the mountain that you see when you step out of this tavern, and you walk almost to the very top of it, and there you'll find a cave. Go to the very back of that cave, and with a stone scratch away at the wall, and gems will fall off. Take these gems and lay them on your kitchen table, and whichever one your daughter chooses, bring it back to me. Do you understand?" Well, the father, he said, yes, he did understand, and yes, he'd do that, and yes, of course, and thank you, and I'll be back. And so off he goes. He runs out of the tavern, and he looks straight ahead, and there's this great big mountain that he'd never seen before. Well, he almost runs to the top. He probably would have if he was fit enough. And when he arrives, gasping and wheezing at the top of that mountain, what does he do? He finds the cave. And he goes in there with a stone. and he scrapes away at the back wall of that cave, and all kinds of gems come off. And he takes these gems and he packs them in his little bag, and he runs down the mountain, and he runs all the way home, or he would have if he was fit enough. He stops and starts and keeps on travelling, but he's never been so keen to get anywhere. So it's not long before he arrives back home, and oh, is he delighted. And he doesn't say anything to his daughter because they haven't spoken for months, but now at least he has hope. And very carefully, he lays all those gems on the table. And then he just leaves the room. And later that night, when his daughter comes out, as she always would do, when she was sure he was sleeping, she sees all those gems on the table. But there's only one that she has any interest in. And when the father comes the next morning, he sees that one of them has been polished all night long. Polished by her as she sat at the table. And this goes on for days and days, until by the end of that week, why, that stone is so well polished, it's pretty much like glass. And the father, he takes the stone and he runs all the way back, or he would have if he was a bit fitter, but he runs all the way and stops and starts and gets to the tavern. And he says, this one, to the old man there. And the old man, he gazes at our friend and he says, ah, good news, good news. This is a marvellous destiny your daughter has. She will be a healer. A healer, says the father. That's wonderful. I must go and tell the king of the birds. And so he runs off to the king of the birds. And when he gets there, he tells the king of the birds. And the king of the birds said, you're a lucky man. It's a fine thing for your daughter to be. I'll tell my birds straight away to write her destiny in the sky. And the father can hardly wait to see his daughter's face. He runs all the way home, or more or less, until when he finally arrives there, why? He bangs on her door, something he's not dared to do in all this time. He bangs on her door and he says, daughter, you've got to look outside. You've got to look up into the sky. The birds are actually writing your destiny right now. Go and look. And the voice that he hears from inside the room makes his blood chill. For just a moment, it makes his blood chill with sadness and horror. Because she says, father, I don't want to know. But look, they're up in the sky. Look, you can see it for yourself. She says, father, I am past caring, and I do not want to know any more of your foolish stories. Now go away and leave me alone. And no amount of persuading would make any difference. The more he pushed, the harder she pushed back, until no more words were ever spoken between them as long as they lived in that house together. No more words were ever spoken between them. And the old man, he fell into a depression. He fell into a depression of how awfully things had gone between him and his daughter. And as for her, why, the first chance she had, she left home and she never looked back. She left home and she never looked back. She walked out into the world, seeking her destiny. But all this time, there was one bird who never gave up on trying to fulfill the king of the birds' request. Yes, it followed her everywhere. It followed her everywhere, and every opportunity it would fly up into the sky and write her destiny there. You will be a healer. But she never saw it, or at least she never noticed it, and she certainly didn't see what it was trying to tell her. But her destiny emerged nonetheless. Yes, her destiny emerged nonetheless. For everywhere she went, she found a strange thing occurring, which is that she could see a person who was about to become ill, and she could see the illness growing inside them. She could see how the illness would spread and make them sick, and sometimes she even could know that that person would die. And yet she said nothing. She thought, who am I to say such things? I don't know anything about this. I'm not a doctor, so why should I say such things? And so she would keep quiet. But as time would go by, why, that very person would grow sick, and sometimes such people, they would die. And she would feel so awful inside for not having said anything, for not having done anything when she might have been able to help, that she would be unable to stay in that place and would move on to the next place, move on ever seeking her destiny. And all the while, the little bird is flying above her, trying to tell her her destiny, trying desperately with its flight to write her destiny in the sky. It would be just the same thing in the next place she came to. This time she might see even more. She could see what was really troubling people. She could see what was grieving their hearts. And she could see how this would cause them to become ill, and maybe some of them would die, and she wouldn't be able to say anything. She wouldn't trust herself enough. And yet it was such pain to see people becoming ill, people that she might have been able to save. And in the end, why, she can't stay in this place either, and so she just has to leave. And so it goes for her for a long, long time. And so it goes, always walking, seeking her destiny. While all the time, there's this ever ragged little bird, growing more and more ragged above her, trying to write her destiny in the sky. Yes. Does she ever notice? No. Until at last she arrives in a big city, and she feels very deeply, here is where I will find my destiny. But where do I look? And she comes to a huge square in the middle of that great city with many fine buildings all around it. And she just says to herself, where do I find my destiny? And she's sitting there on the steps when right then, this ragged little bird, the same little bird that's been flying after her, trying to write her destiny in the sky all this time, this bird just lands on her boots and looks up at her. And she's rather amazed. She's never seen a bird do such a thing. And she stares down at this little bird. And the bird stares up at her with such desperation in its eyes. She looks down at the bird, and without being able to stop it, she simply sees into the bird's heart, which is what she does everywhere, which is what her gift is. She sees into the bird's heart and she says, little bird, you are burning with a message, aren't you? The little bird stared at her with beady black eyes very intensely, as if saying in bird speak, yes. It's eating you up, little bird. Tell me your message then. Tell me your message. I will hear your message, even if no one else will. The bird shrugged and shook itself and then flew up into the sky. And in that moment, why, she was quite sure that this message was meant for her. that this little bird had a message for her. But what was it? She couldn't discern it. The little bird just flew about, making strange movements, squiggling about in the sky, and she couldn't make it out. What was that little bird trying to say? For the longest time, she stood there scratching her head and trying to understand it, but still, she didn't see it. She had no idea what the bird was trying to tell her. And the bird, flying this way and that, grew tireder and more exhausted, and with the very last flaps of its little wings, tried its very best to communicate the message. But seeing its own failure in the look upon the girl's face of confusion and bafflement, why, that little bird, it just simply gave up and fell to earth. It fell to earth and landed upon the steps of one of those grand buildings in the square where she was sitting. "Oh, my little bird!" And she rushed over to the little bird, and she rushed all the way to the steps of that building, and she picked it up in her hands. And she looked down at this poor little bird who had now died. "You had a message for me, didn't you? But I didn't understand it." And then she stepped back, and she looked up. She realized that the steps that she was standing upon now, they led up to a very grand building which said in big letters along the top, "School of Medicine." School of Medicine, where one trains to become a doctor. She looked down at the little bird. She looked up at the School of Medicine, and she felt quite sure that the little bird's message had finally arrived. Well, she trained to be a doctor, and she was indeed a very fine student. And when she was a practicing doctor, why, she was excellent at what she did. Why, of course she was, because she could see into people's hearts. She could see what was ailing them. She could see what the remedy should be. And so people went to her from miles around, and they trusted her, and she was able to effect cures that nobody else could create. Until one time they came to her, an old and sad and tired-looking man, who sat down before her. And she saw straight into his heart. She saw what was troubling him, that here was somebody who had spoken words to his daughter that had turned out to be untrue, and had created the most terrible rift between them. And this was eating him up and making him sick. And at once she recognized her father, and she went to him, and she told him all about the little bird. The little bird who had fulfilled his request of the king of the birds. How the story that he told her had in the end been true. How he hadn't actually lied. And how she forgave him everything. Well, you never saw so many tears. You never saw so many tears as flowed then from the eyes of both of them. Tears of forgiveness and reconciliation. And after he's wiped his eyes a bit, why, the father, he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a gem. A gem that she recognizes straight away. He says, "Here, I've been keeping this for you.